This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of the hour, Bruce Feldman talking about his mock draft from The Athletic. I happen to believe he's the best mock drafter in the country, and I'm not talking about accuracy because I don't really think that mock drafts are about accuracy. They really aren't. They're entertainment on the one hand, but in Bruce's case, they're also very informational, from him talking to coordinators and coaches at the pro and college level, scouts, real information. Bruce was the one that had the quotes on George Pickens going into his draft year, before that draft. Quotes that are still dragged up and still relevant today, like one scout or coordinator, I can't remember which, saying Pickens has been enabled his whole life. I wouldn't touch him. Things like that. So for better or worse, we're going to get opinions from Bruce Feldman's mock draft. It's up right now at The Athletic. He's got the Steelers taking Jackson Dart. We'll talk about all of this, Bob. We'll talk
about
all of this.
I know that's why you like Brucey boy. You got that Jackson Dart thing in your pocket. No, I see what's happening.
Honestly, even if it had been anybody else, I think his are the most informational mock drafts out there. I think they're tremendous. And I want to ask him about what he thinks about Dart compared to Shedeur Sanders. And a lot of other prospects.
And also what these teams at the top of the draft board are thinking, because right, there are a lot of different ways they can go, despite them all needing quarterback help.
Let's talk about that and talk to him top of the hour. In the meantime, there I was driving around after the Pirates' home opener against the Yankees, a day that shall live in infamy, Bob. And who do I hear but two very nice men, Dan Zangrilli and Bob Walk, having a great conversation. I think a lot of people think, like Dan was thinking here, that, you know, is it time for somebody to turn over a table and get in somebody's face? I've said it when it comes to Shelty. I want more like accountability and even public accountability sometimes from him, where he does get in the player's face. I wouldn't mind that. But I think Bob delivered a sober reminder of what really matters when this topic of, basically, hey, is it time for somebody to say something around here, like one of the players? This was Bob's answer.
Well, so when you bring in veteran leadership, bring in home runs and RBIs.
True.
That's I would much rather see that than somebody that's going to be a vocal leader in the clubhouse. I've never seen anything that where that really paid off.
So there's no tables to flip. There's no
You can do that
lighting
stuff.
Fixtures to break. Or
but how is that turning to wins? I don't know. If there's a, let's say there's like a mentor type thing with you, like you got a real good young player, mm-hmm. and you have somebody that's maybe played his position or whatever over the years, and you, you know, want to have, if that older player buys into, you know, okay, I'm in the twilight of my career, I'm gonna take this kid under my wing and I'm gonna try to help him. Now that sort of thing I've seen where it's appears to maybe have worked, kind of like almost like a coach, but he's actually a player. But as far as like making speeches in the clubhouse, no, I don't care for that sort of thing.
So those ring hollow.
For me. Now, and that's just me. Now,
I get it.
There's people that buy into that big time. Yeah, but I'm not one of them.
That's pretty good stuff. The topic then turned to one of Walkie's old teammates with the Braves, Dale Murphy. And, you know, did he do that kind of stuff? And Bob basically said, Dale Murphy never said a word in the clubhouse. What he gave us was lots of homers, lots of RBIs, and MVP-level performance. And I just couldn't agree more, Bob, whether we're talking about, quote, winning in the margins or talking about having a fiery leader. Go out and get some players, please.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Look at Sidney Crosby. That's all you need to know. He's a leader, but he's not one of those vocal guys. I mean, I'm sure there are times in that locker room where he'll say something once in a while, but mostly he's a guy who just says, follow me. Look what I do. This is what I do. This is what you need to do. And, you know, that's the leadership you want. Leadership with action. And I think all those guys who can deliver those kinds of things carry more. For example, Tommy Pham is supposedly some sort of guy who's not afraid of vocalizing whatever, but you've got to do more than just two RBIs in your first 10 games to be effective even with a vocal uprising. You know what I mean?
This whole idea of, oh, Kutch is now going to embrace leadership more this year. Skeens wants to be a leader. Tommy Pham's coming in as the kind of fiery clubhouse guy they really need. None of that rings to me like, wow, okay, that'll make a difference. Paul Skeens is great. You know, I don't. What you need from Paul Skeens is for him to do what he's doing.
Right. He lets his actions speak for him. He doesn't need to do anything. Just go out and put it up every single time.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't care less about that other stuff, and it sounds like Walkie couldn't really care less either.
No, his other point where if you want to take somebody under your wing and help them, that's all fine. I get that. But I'm talking about just yelling for yelling's sake or throwing a table for the table's sake. It looks good, sounds good. You get a lot of attention because of it, a lot of clicks and likes. But at the same time, what is it really doing in terms of value? You need production. That's where it all starts.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've said in regards to Shelton, I'd like some accountability. Does accountability really matter in the end, though, compared to talent? Nope, it doesn't. It just doesn't. At the same time, I still would like to see that. I think players may respond in terms of, you know, throwing to the right base and things like that if they get benched. But ultimately, talent trumps all.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is, and they need more talent. Simply
in
put,
that sport as much as
especially,
any.
Especially, yeah.
Because it's essentially an individual sport.
Right. But you're also 162, boy. That's a lot of time, and the best players normally do rise up. And if you're not, you can have a two-week span where you're going well, but then, you know, at the end of the day, you look at the numbers and you say it's not worth it. You got to get player. It's all about talent.
Bruce Feldman coming up, top of the hour, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Bob, lots of other things happening in sports. One is Ovechkin getting .895 with Wayne Gretzky on hand. A classic goal, sort of from his classic spot, although more of a, I don't know what you call it, a sweeping wrist shot that he fired in. There's so many different ways to sort of spin this topic. One that Limits and I were talking about before the show is how many like hallowed records really exist in sports. And what I mean by that is ones that even casual sports fans, or especially casual sports fans, could recite off the top of their head. Like, what's still out there? I feel like the home run record, for example, in baseball has been sullied in so many people's eyes, and I don't even know what it is. It used to be in my brain, 715, Henry Aaron. 714. To break it, you needed 715. And now I don't know what it is.
That's Barry Bonds, right?
Yeah. How many?
And 750. What is it? 755?
Exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah. It's how many hallowed records are out there in all of sports?
Well, there's one that stands out, and it's Cal Ripken. Consecutive game streak. I don't think you'll ever see anyone do that.
Does the number come to mind?
2,903. It's real close to 3,000. Austin, help me out with that. Look on that computer. It's whatever it is.
See, I guess that's part of it, Bob.
It's not going to be broken.
2,632 games.
I get that part. And maybe we think differently about this. We might when I say the word hallowed. Like, you know, whoever has thrown the most complete games in baseball history, that's never going to be broken either because they don't throw complete games. When I say hallowed, at least for me, my definition is I know it in my head. I know it off the top of my head, and it's a
hitting streaks.
It's an Joe DiMaggio's 56 yeah. game hitting streak is still for me a hallowed record.
Because you know it exactly, and it's
right
difficult to get to that.
Wilt Chamberlain, 100. This is what Limits brought up today. 100 points in a basketball game. That's a hallowed record that I think a lot of people know and is right there on the tip of my tongue.
Easily. And no one's going to get there.
And then what? I don't know. Jack Nicklaus, well, what is it, 18 majors?
18 majors. I mean, Tiger had a shot
that's
at that.
That's up there.
That's probably, given the talent that we see, how widespread it is, I don't know if anyone's going to get close to that again.
And this Ovechkin record now is on the tip of everybody's tongue, 895. Bob, how many others out there for you do you just know, you've always known, and are is that word again, a hallowed record?
Well, DiMaggio comes to mind. To me, Cal Ripken comes to mind. I wasn't sure of the number, but I just because of the fact that it's that long, I don't know how many years that even was. People today, they get days off every 3 days.
Right.
You know, so maybe that's not going to happen. But if you have a guy, you know, who wants to play every day, I would let him play. Now, they're going to come a conversation where you say to yourself, well, you need a rest because your performance is dipping. And Cal Ripken faced that, but he pushed back. No, I want to be. This is very important to me, this record. Cy Young wins 5-11.
That's a good one. 5-11. I didn't know that off the top of my head. That's a real good one.
I knew
one.
It was a lot. That's why I looked it up to find it was 5-11. I always thought, now that'll never be done, ever.
No,
people
it
have
can't.
A hard enough time getting to 200 these days.
It can't.
Yeah, so.
What else? Anything else anything else that you know off the top of your head?
There's a golf record, and I'm not sure if it's Sam Snead or Byron Nelson won 11 consecutive PGA Tour events.
Wow.
Now you think about that, and I got to find that.
How about UCLA Bruins 88-game winning streak?
That's never being topped.
That one I
never.
Know off the top of my head. Do you have any other records as a younger guy?
2105, Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record that Barkley was 100 yards shy of this
past
year.
That's a good one, Bob. 2105.
How about most sacks in a football game?
22.5
in
overall
a game,
in a season.
In a game. Single game. I bet you, if I remember right, there are a couple of linebackers who probably are in that conversation. I'm not sure.
To me, that's... That's cool, but
Derek
it's obscure.
Derek Thomas is a Hall of Famer. What do you mean it's obscure? 7 sacks in one game? I think there were 7 or 6. Or
obscure
seven.
Meaning nobody would know if you asked them on the street,
but they would
know that Wilt had 100 points in a basketball game.
Well, fine.
Joe DiMaggio, 56-game hitting streak. Maybe even Nicklaus, 18 majors. I don't know.
Right. Can you find out what I'm talking about, most consecutive PGA Tour wins, Austin? I can't. I'm trying to look, and I cannot.
What's the low score for a round at a major of all time?
I don't know. Do you?
No.
No.
Is it Johnny Miller?
No.
What did he get?
I
62?
I think there were some that came along the way more recently that... oh, geez.
Yeah, Bob. Byron Nelson, 1945, 11 consecutive PGA Tour wins.
So it was Nelson, right.
Tiger had a streak of 7-6.
Yes, he did.
What did Johnny Major shoot?
How about Pete Rose, most hits in a career? You know that number, right? At least you should. 4,200, I think, 60 or...
I don't know that number.
But, I mean, it's over 4,000.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I'm not going to be... The semantics of getting it right, it's 4,200-something. I don't know what it is.
I know, but there's a certain magic to numbers. There's a certain magic to the number. I grew up with a bunch of those numbers, and I feel like they're all gone, but I feel like this one now is on the list.
You don't have to know the exact number to know the streak. I knew that one of those golfers, Byron Nelson, had 11 around. I knew that Pete Rose had over 4,000 hits. I still know those numbers. They're not exact, but I know what they are. Cal Ripken, I knew that it was a number that nobody was going to approach.
But I know DiMaggio was 56. Okay. That's 715. 100 in a game. And now 895.
I also think that it gets harder and harder once you get into like the hundreds and the thousands. Like Pete Rose, 4256 is the exact number compared to just 56 for DiMaggio.
People have a hard enough time getting to 2,000.
Xander... Scheffler shot a 62 to tie a major record for the second time, lowest round at a major.
What was it?
A 62.
What was a four-day total? The 72-hole score. I thought that's what you meant.
This was at the peak. No, I was talking one day. What did Johnny Miller shoot
63.
That year? So a 62 is the record.
Mind. Yeah.
You should break that, Bob.
After 9, I can. I would be in better shape after 9.
My God, he was minus 40? That's weird. Can you imagine shooting a 62?
No. I can only imagine going shot by shot, hoping. I have new set guidelines for my game. If I can get one birdie around, Hopefully two, but one would satisfy me as long as I stay away from doubles.
One texter asks about Malzi's 9 straight threes. Is anybody ever going to break that?
That is hallowed. That's a great one, Bob.
I don't even think Steph Curry has made 9 straight threes, right?
Not even in practice, maybe. That's fantastic.